joining us on the line now. We've got from the Sydney Morning Herald, Adam Pengilly. Adam, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
What'd you take out of last night's result, 28-8, Melbourne over Manly?
Yeah, much better Melbourne, weren't they, Jared? Much better performance given the losses of the last 2 weeks. Jerome Hughes, is he the most important player they've got at the moment?
Well, on the back of what their last three weeks looks like, I mean, without him, they looked rudderless. And then last night, they looked as though they got their shape back into attack. They were still rusty. You know, their execution wasn't as good as what we thought it might look like, but he is so important to them. And he makes a difference to all of their players, in particular Munster. And if you're going to bring the best out in Munster, he's the X factor. He's the one that can break a game open for them. And you relieve him with that responsibility of giving the team direction and let Munster just float and do what Munster does. That brings out the best in him.
He just seemed to calm him down last night, didn't he, Jerome Hughes? You're right, everyone else around him just looks a lot calmer. They look a lot more confident about their roles and their positions they needed to play. And he's an enormous play for them, Jerome Hughes. So that comeback last night for him was crucial for Craig Bellamy in the Storm. I don't know where Manly go now, Loz. I worry for them, to be honest, without Tommy. I think they're going to be scrapping to try and make the top eight probably pretty much for the rest of the year. Yet they tried hard again last night. Ruben Garrick did a reasonable enough job there at the back at fullback. But they just lack that potency without Tom, don't they? That real X factor. So it's going to be a struggle for them. And I know Melbourne put a lot of traffic on DCE last night. They were very smart about how they played. I think DCE made upwards of 30 tackles, didn't he, last night? Mm. So given that Tom was out, they knew that Daly was going to be their main attacking weapon. And they ran a lot of traffic at him all night and tried to gas him as much as they possibly could. And obviously, Daly tried hard, but Melbourne always in control of that game. So I don't know where Manly go now. It's going to be a really tough year for them trying to, I think, if they do make the eight, they'll only be in seventh or eighth spot. And he's got a lot of work in front of him.
Yeah, their next 2 weeks will tell us a lot about them. They've got the Warriors and the Tigers and their must-win games. I think they're there to make the eight.
Yeah, they'll be close. They'll be close all year, Loz. I think it's going to be really hard for them all year. And we know their record without Tommy. It's pretty ordinary, to be fair. So they've got to win the next 2 weeks, don't they, to get their season going. And it's three losses on the bounce now. And I know Jesse won't be happy. And I just wonder how much that whole drama with the referee last night, if it took any energy or sapped anything out of him in the build-up to that Melbourne game last night. I know Josh Alloway's comments throughout the week probably were a little bit, how can I put it, maybe out of line a little bit in some respects.
Brave.
Yeah. Listen, Jared, as a media and journalist, we love players.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not want the players to stop speaking what they think and the honesty about it, but that was, what, 3 or 4 days after the game. Des had already had a couple of pops in the press conference and then in the papers again over the course of the weekend. And then for it to come up again on Tuesday, I think it was, it just seemed like it was just dragging on a little bit too much. So anyway, they need to move on with that. And they desperately need to try and win their next two games in this Origin period.
What do you make of the timing of this announcement with Payne Haas and his management team asking for a release?
Yeah, just poor, Loz. Really poor, isn't it? Right on the eve of the Origin series. I'm very interested to see how Brad Fittler handles this now, because we know he's had a policy for the last few years that players have to have their contracts sorted. He wants no distractions at all about player contracts throughout Origin camps. And this has popped up literally a few days before they go into camp for game one. And he's one of his best players, Payne Haas. New South Wales, you could argue, might be a little bit skinny for depth in the middle this year. We know that Daniel Saifidi's not going that great. Junior Paulo and Payne Haas would be the first two chosen. But apart from that, there probably no sort of walk-up starts. Even Jake Trbojevic, I think, is going to be part of the squad there somewhere, obviously. But he's not in, I wouldn't say, vintage form this year. And I can't help but think, guys, that this is just a power play from the manager. I wrote a story in the Herald a few weeks ago about Payne Haas's feud with his former agent, Chris Orr, from Pacific Sports Management. That's all been played out in the Supreme Court at the moment. And if Payne can renegotiate and extend his contract or upgrade his contract, well, his new manager's going to get a cut of the deal. As it stands at the moment, he's not getting any money from him. So I can't help but think that somewhere in the background, that's got a large part to play with this. But how do the Broncos deal with this now? Their most important player, probably apart from Adam Reynolds, a guy who's won their Paul Morgan medal for the last 3 years, going to the club mid-season in a year where they're travelling great and looking like they're going to play finals football and saying he wants out. It's just a horrible, horrible look. So it's very much a watch this space for the next few weeks, I'd imagine.
In regards to the wider Origin selections, so what are you hearing and expecting when the teams are announced, what, New South Wales Sunday night and Queensland Monday?
Yeah, I heard you guys speaking about Selwyn Cobbo and Xavier Coates just a few minutes ago. I think they're definitely the front runners from everything I'm hearing. They're going to pick Cobbo if he gets through the 80 minutes tonight for Brisbane's game against the Titans. I think Xavier Coates will be there as well. I know Corey Oates has been rejuvenated in a lot of respects this year. He's playing great footy for the Broncos out there on the wing. But I think Billy at this stage is going to be going for the two young guys. I don't think he can sort of ignore the X factor that Selwyn Cobbo is going to bring to that Origin camp. So I know he's only 19 years old. I think he turns 20, is it only a few days before Origin 1? It might be. But as it stands at the moment, he'll be picked. The New South Wales team, I think Freddie's obviously been keeping his cards very close to his chest the whole way through. He's had a lot of injuries had to deal with the last few weeks. Cameron Murray's an interesting one for me. If he plays for the Rabbitohs this week and gets through the game, there's no doubt he'll be in the team, but there's no guarantee he'll play at this stage. He'll have to get through the captain's run today for South Sydney. I wonder if Freddie picks him if he doesn't play tomorrow night. He says, we trust you. I know I haven't played for a month or so, but he's such an important player and goes with him. But as it stands at the moment, the most contentious positions obviously have been centre the whole way through. I think Katoni Staggs and Stephen Crichton have both got their noses in front. As it stands at the moment, if they can get through their games over the course of the weekend, they'll be tonight. I think they'll probably be chosen as centres, and we'll have two centres on debut for New South Wales.
What about the utility?
Yeah, Loz, I don't know which way this is going. This is a real fascinating discussion. I've chatted to a few people sort of around Blues camp the last week or so, and it's a tough one because Jack Whiten's been there and thereabouts for New South Wales the last 3 or 4 years under Freddie. He's done a great job playing a number of different positions. I think he wants to show loyalty to Jack. His comeback last week was, I thought, against South. What did you think? I thought he was great up in Dubbo there for his first game in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I think he stated a really strong case.
Yeah, look, I'm a massive supporter, as everyone knows, on this show. You know, I think Jack should be in that 17 somewhere, and I think he can play a lot of positions. You know, Nicho Hynes is playing some good football, and Nicho Hynes does give them some cover, and I understand why they're, you know, tossing up Nicho, because, you know, if something happened to a Nathan Cleary, who's the guy that's going to come on and control a game for them? You know that Nicho Hynes will do that. The only thing I have about Nicho is, if that doesn't happen, where do you get him into the game?
Right.
I know they're talking about maybe that 13 role, but I don't know whether I'm sold on Nicho playing that type of role in Origin. And, you know, if you're not sold on that and you can't get him into the game as a 7, where do you use him?
I think you're exactly right, Loz. And the other thing to throw into the mix is, if something was to happen to Nathan Cleary and you had Jack Whiten on the bench to cover, well, you're going to have two left-footed kickers in Luai and Jack Whiten, and it's probably not ideal in an arena as Origin. Mm. We need to be so precise about which parts of the field you're getting to for your last tackle plays and everything like that. I think you're right. Nicho Hynes provides the best cover for Nathan Cleary if anything does happen to Nathan. But apart from that, Jack probably gives you maybe a little bit more versatility as a spinner or an edge back rower.
He can play as a 13. You know, he can play, if something happened to Luai, he could play as a 5'8", or if something happened to a Cookie, he could possibly play Cam Murray if he's selected as a hooker. I just think he gives you more all round coverage for positions, Jack. But if something did happen to Nathan Cleary and you had Nicho Hynes on the bench, he gives you better cover than what Jack does.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Nico's 18th man, Loz, because they've got to choose 18, obviously, with the concussion substitute and everything like that. So I'd imagine one would be 14, and you'd think there's a decent chance the other one would be 18th man.
Yeah, fair call.
What have you got for us at Randwick tomorrow, Adam?
Yeah, another heavy track, Jared. One at value for me, race 9, number 3, So Am I. This horse failed in the Wagatown Plate behind front page. He didn't have a whole lot of luck in the straight, to be fair. Probably should have finished just a little bit closer. But his form on the wet tracks in Sydney before he went down to Wagga was really rock solid. Form around horses like Ravina. I'm not worried at all about the outside barrier there. Randwick True, heavy track. They'll be getting way off the fence later in the day, so the outside gate should be too much an issue. And 2 kilos off of Reece Jones, I think, gets in really nicely at the weight. So that's race 9, number 3, So Am I, at a big double-figure price as a value at Randwick there tomorrow.
$15 the win, $4.40 the place with Tab. Thank you so much, mate.
See you, boys. Enjoy the weekend.